Blog Talk Radio.
How you guys doing out there tonight? Coming to you guys live from Revolutionary Gospel News. All right, tonight we'll be talking about the beginning of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. I find a lot of things very interesting when I sit out here and I listen to people talk. Not only just people talk, but doing study and actually validating what one believes. I notice most people nowadays, they seem to go on what they heard or what they've been handed. They don't seem to do none of their own self-research. And I think this has caused one of the biggest problems, because a lot of us have just been go on what we've been told, and we join churches and all of these places like that, and just to find out that the preacher is pretty much living his dreams out on you. You know, he's taking your money. You feel like I had to give him 10% of my wages to hear what? To be manipulated. You know, and I look at the Bible because I don't believe all preachers are bad, or there's an old English word, which is teachers, the teacher are bad. I don't think that. I think there are some out there, and there's more than a few who have not been called by God, but yet they're standing before a congregation, church, whatever you want to call it, and are teaching the people. Well, after years of research, because the Bible talks about those who are ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of truth. Okay. And if I missed my introduction, introducing myself, I'm Arthur Joseph Smith, the writer of The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Devil Workshop, Caliphate, and the Rise of the Islamic Nation. I'll tell you about those books at the end of the show. But today I was talking about, because I'm looking at the kingdom of God. It's become a very interesting topic to me, because the message that were later preached centuries later, what the first century kingdom of God looked like, which today people would say church, but then we find out that word they use today was replaced, you know, because the ecclesia cannot be turned into churches, called out ones, you know, called out to be a part of God's kingdom. But it's nowhere in there that you can, there's nowhere on earth you can change ecclesia into church. So they substituted a word, which was kios. I still haven't got it completely rightly pronounced, but that is the word for church. So they took what they did that with that one word was great distortion. You know, you kind of begin to miss the whole picture of what Christ was talking about, because all of us in this century were running around, we're looking for churches, kingdom of God. You know, I look at the very start of his message, and that's where I'm going to start at tonight, because I find it very interesting of what he preached and what you're hearing today, or what he taught then versus what we're hearing today, what the disciples taught then versus what we're hearing today. Okay, and I'll be talking about the name of Jesus also, because there's a group out there that say they come to make you know what God's name is. And I want to know, is that something to think about before I get there? Is that what the message was supposed to be? Was that what he told them to go preach? And you can look in Luke 24 for that. But let's start with what happened. And it picks up in Matthew's. And actually, I'm going to start in Matthew's 3, verse 13. Said, then cometh Jesus to Galilee, to Jordan, and to John, to be baptized of him. But John forbidden him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and cometh thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Okay, then he suffered him. He allowed him, in other words, to actually baptize him. So he allowed it. He permitted Jesus to be baptized by him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and alighting up on him. Notice that the Spirit of God descending like a dove. It didn't say it was a dove, even though they have pictures, but it was descending, how it was coming down, like a dove, and lighting up on him. And a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God spoke from heaven. Jesus was baptized. You have people today tell you all you need to do is believe, but then Mark 16:16 clears that up. Jesus himself was baptized. He was to be our example. Excuse me, people. So we see in the scripture, he's not asking you nothing that he didn't do himself. Then we pick up in chapter 4, verse 1. It said, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. In other words, evilly persuaded by the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterwards hungered. And when the tempter, the evil persuader, came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. Notice he didn't say, if thou be God. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, it's funny. Satan himself knows this is the Son of God. It's not God. He asked the man. He didn't say, oh, this is God? He know God. He knew this was his son. But he got everybody else believing that Jesus is God. And that's not a biblical teaching. I would say that for another day. And if anybody have anything to say, you can simply comment, you know, right in my comment box, and I'll show you scriptures. And just a quick trump card for that is Acts 2:22. Okay? So he said he got man believing that he was God. And the scripture says, he that believe on me, as the scripture said, there's people who believe in Jesus, but not according to the scripture. Okay? And he says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And then the devil taking him up unto a holy city and set him up on a pinnacle of the temple. Okay? So I'm not going to continue to read all that because I want to get into what Jesus' message was. We see him being tried by the devil. The devil is trying to bend his will. He's trying to see if he can mouth psychology him like many people have done today in churches with these preachers hustling them. So this is what he's saying. He's looking at it. He's talking to him, seeing how well he knows scriptures. He's putting them through the test and telling them different stuff. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and skip down to verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, because he told him, let's look at what Satan said. Verse 8, we'll go there. Kind of trying to expedite some time here, but it says, and the devil taking him in an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. It said unto him, all these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Okay. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship. In other words, worship is to submit thyself, submit yourself, worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Okay? And then the devil leaving him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was put cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. We're going to jump down to verse 16. What was his opening message? First of all, notice something that happened here before. He received the Holy Ghost. See, this is a major problem today. The first thing he did, the first thing he was done was he was baptized, and then he received the Holy Ghost. And I'm still in that chapter, so keep your finger in that chapter. I want you to look at Acts 1 and 8. Acts 1 and 8. And see, a lot of people out here ministering and calling themselves and ministering, but by what authority are you out in the field? What authority are you out preaching and teaching? Or teaching, not preaching, just teaching. Nobody was hooping and hollering and running around. Jesus wasn't on a mental high or an emotional high. He was instructing them. He was enlightening the mind. That is latter stuff. This is the stuff that came after the first century church. He said, but ye shall receive power, authority, after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Notice something. After the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But after. See, where is the authority these people coming to you? And they don't have the Holy Ghost. They have never been born again. But yet, they're out instructing people. Yet, they're at the door telling you, I come to reveal the name Jehovah to you. But you have never been truly, actually born again. What authority are you standing there in? Who authority are you in? Okay. And I have the Holy Ghost, so I do. That's one thing I do have, and I remember when I got it. And I was baptized in Jesus' name. And I'll talk about the true born-again experience before I am done. So he goes on to say, he said, then the people which sat in darkness, a great light, okay, a darkness saw great light, and them which sat in the region, a shadow of death, light is sprung up. What did Jesus open his mouth and say when his ministry began? And for that time, Jesus, from that time, Jesus began to preach, to teach, and to say, repent is his first word, repent. Turn away what you consider to be right. Turn away with traditions that you have been living with all your life. In other words, for a man to forsake his wicked ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts and turn to God. Repent. Now, notice what he told them. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't say, repent, for my church is at hand. No. He said, repent, for my kingdom of heaven is at hand. His kingdom was present. It was close. At hand means it's near to come. Okay? So this is the beginning of the kingdom of God. Okay, we're talking about the time of Jesus. I'm not looking back into the Old Testament. I'm talking about the physical kingdom that's going to soon come, as well as the spiritual kingdom. And notice something. And this is chapter 17 and verse 20. And when he had demanded of the Pharisees, or when he was demanded of the Pharisees, and this is verse chapter 17, verse 20, of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come. They didn't ask when your church is going to come. The word that has been substituted out. Kudos, could I keep mentioning, but cannot replace the word ecclesia. Called out once, called out once. We're separated to be a part of his kingdom. We're chosen by God to be a part of his kingdom. So we're down in this time, and nobody seems to know that is about the kingdom of God. They're talking about a church, a word that does not even exist but two times in the New Testament under the Greek. It was changed during probably somewhere when they were rewriting the Bible, they swapped the words out, okay, in the King James Version. It only exists in Corinthians and one other place. I forgot where that second place is. But notice what he's saying. Let's look at the scriptures. They asked about his kingdom. They didn't ask about no church. And he answered him and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observance, neither shall thou say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. For the kingdom of God is within you. For the kingdom of God is within you. Okay, what does that mean? He said that we're going to come without observance. Now let's look at John 3 to get understand. See, we can look at things, and that's one thing about the Holy Ghost, how it guides you in all truth. This is what started me to search the word church, because I noticed that when Christ always talked, he continuously said kingdom. He never once said any word about a church. And then I went back to 16, where it said the gates of Israel, I'm going to build my church. That is the same word, ecclesia. He so was not church. He was talking about he will build his kingdom, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16. That changed almost the whole meaning of what we've been reading all these years, because really in place of what they took out of it, really was saying his kingdom, his kingdom, his kingdom. Never saying nothing about church. That word is non-existent, and it means Lord or Lord house, but it does not represent ecclesia. Ecclesia cannot be translated into that word that they swapped out. So, John 3 and 5. Look what he says. Once again, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, in other words, he become a new creature, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the church. Where is that at? Where is this word at? When Christ spoke, he never once said that. Here we go again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot understand it. Then it goes on to say John 5, because Nicodemus asked him about how he could be born again. And he begins to tell him, he says, Jesus answered, says, verily, verily, no, surely, surely, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. No, he can't enter into the church. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I'm not changing scripture either for those out there listening. It's such an amazing thing you're hearing tonight. It's like, oh, my God, what is he saying? I'm telling you, these interpolates added that word in our Bible, and he kept it was really saying the kingdom of God. It was not saying a church. What is a church? Even the reformers, which is the flood that came out of Satan's mouth, because I don't believe in nothing they were really pretty much talking about, because they didn't take you back to the day of Pentecost, where I'm going right now when he talks about the kingdom of God should come without observing. But they did not like that word because they know it was a twist of it. And even congregation is a twist of it. I can go with assembly because we assemble as countrymen, you know. So the kingdom of God, the beginning of his kingdom. Here is the beginning of his kingdom. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, this is Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, not a foreign language. Let's not get into the peeping muttering, which is as described as witchcraft in Isaiah 8. Okay, go on to say, and they were all dwelling at Jerusalem, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. His own language. Where is this falsehood evidence in speaking in tongues? They spoke an audible sound that you can understand. And for those people who be teaching that, I like to ask you a question. How would you know how what tongues sound like on the day of Pentecost when it was a babbling tongue and you weren't there? How you know what the Holy Ghost sound like? Because the Holy Ghost makes the scriptures plain. Like they said, Stephen full of the Holy Ghost in Acts 7, and he began to speak. He began to convict, you know, let people know the crookedness in them. And brought plainly to the scriptures about David and all that, he broke the scriptures down in clarity, which caused the man to attack him. So we're going on to the born-again experience, the kingdom of God. So therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has met that same Jesus whom you have crucified. Wait, I'm going to back up for those who say Jesus is God. Acts 2 and 22. So ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Put all the scriptures you had about, you got to keep saying he God, because he said, didn't he say God? No, he said because of the works he was doing, because God was working through him. Fast forwarding to Acts 2 and 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, put to death, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, in other words, he made him superior, he made us our king, supreme in authority in Christ, the Holy Ghost. I'll show you why I say that. And we're going to go to Romans 8 after. It says, when they heard this, they were all pricked, agitated in their heart and their mind, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? The remission of sins. There's your water. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's your spirit. Water and spirit. And he said, for the promise is unto you, to your children, and talk to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. If you skip this, you've never been called by the Lord. Okay? You may as well go ahead and sell that to somebody else. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, you have no authority. And who are you out there doing? Making mockery, pretty much, talking about to bring the name of Jehovah. And he told them in Luke 24, the Bible clearly states, when he said in verse 45, this is what Jesus told them to preach. They didn't go out and teach what they wanted or what they thought they were hearing. Luke 24:45, he said, Then opened he their understanding. Jesus opened the understanding that they might understand the scripture, not as some in private interpretation, but what the scripture has said. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name, taught in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witness of this thing. And behold, I send the promise of my Father up on you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, till you have been given the authority to go. Romans 8, and we're going to go 8 and 9. It said, then open, he says, so Romans 8 and 8, it says, then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be, the spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You don't have no parts of the kingdom of God. Stop fooling yourself. If you haven't done this, if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to find a place that you can get baptized in Jesus' name. Okay? And I'm going to go ahead on. But he taught the kingdom of God. The entrance into the kingdom of God is through his name. So when we're dealing with the name of Jesus, that is the entrance. That's where the blood is applied to your life. Because he said he washes from our sins in his own blood. That is Revelations 1 and 5. There is remission of sins. Then it talks about that's water and spirit. But let's look at the name of Jesus. Because people say they're revealing their Father name to you. We're revealing God's name to you. Really, God's name was never heard until there, here. And it's going to be John 5 and 43. It's the first time they really start knowing what God's name is. But if you're not born again, you're going to miss this. 5 and 43. What did Jesus say? I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Whose name did he come in? He didn't come in the name Jehovah, El Shaddai. He came in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If any shall come in his own name, him you will receive. You notice the Pope come in the name of the Pope, and the whole world ran after him. You see, he come in his Father's name. So when people sit up there telling you they come to reveal God's name to you, you need to close your door. For real. That's another false religion. Okay? And then he goes on again, he says, verse 17 and 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. This is John 17 and 6, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine thy word, and thou gavest me, and thou have kept thy word. Notice that, though, he manifested thy name. What name did he manifest? What name did Peter and him preach and teach in? Even though, well, it's really that simple, he's named after his Father. So he revealed his Father's name. Jesus Christ. Everybody, huh? Jesus Christ. I come in my Father's name. Can you tell me any other name he came in? Can you tell me any other name that the apostles used? So he came in his Father's name. They used his name because that was his Father's authority. And he said, in the Philippians, said he was given a name above every name. What name is above God's name? See, that's what I like doing, exposing myths and lies. I have no problem with that. People, I thank you guys for your time. Go out and get my books, The Revival of the Roman Empire. That's based off of Daniel. It's not just based off of this vision. God blessed me to understand, and I wrote it in his accuracy. So you can see the rise and fall of fall governments, where we're at today. And then there is the Devil Workshop. And before I really learned that the word church wasn't there, but I break down the different teachings that they have up in our kingdom, okay, and which should not be taught when the body of God is together, or the kingdom of God comes together, the fellow countrymen come together. Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation and the Temple Mount. That book is based on ISIS and the coming Antichrist, who will rule from the Temple Mount, was also revealing some of the hidden archaeology and science that they don't want you to know the lie they tell, you know, the way they have twisted the Bible, changed the complexities and all that. But people, I thank you for your time. And go out and get my books at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and on the web and other bookstores. I should be back on Saturday, probably going to be about 5 o'clock for the Sabbath. We can have a little prayer and get right on into what we're talking about. And I thank you guys for your time. Once again, this is Revolutionary Gospel News. This is Arthur Joseph Smith, and I'll see you guys Saturday.